That's great to say they're running the same play. And all three of them third downs, guys were wide open.
Yeah, there was a guy open. And the ball's not coming out. That's what I said.
Let's go to my man, Mike Gill. Set to join us here on Birds 365. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show. Subscribe to his YouTube channel at Mike Gill Show and listen to him at 97.3 ESPN down the shore, 97.5 The Fanatic on the weekends. Mike, how are you on this Wednesday morning, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with the Eagles this week. It's never a dull moment, right?
No, never a dull
moment. Yeah, and they get a surprise retirement. Yeah, always something with this team.
I said Monday. You know, the Eagles play Thursday. The Phillies lost on Thursday, so Monday is kind of like, okay, what are we going to focus on? And then, wham! You know, Za'Darius Smith says, "Hey, you know what? I don't need this crap anymore."
Yeah.
You know, Rob Thompson gets retained, so Monday ended up being a lot more eventful than I thought it was going to be. And then here we are, midweek, getting ready for the Vikings. Who, by the way, I would imagine if you were to hand pick a defense that you would not want to face when your offense is struggling, this is likely one of the three that you would say, I don't need a Brian Flores defense to try to get my offense in the going in the right direction. So this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, but I think that makes them pick up their game. You know, one of the things, and Mike knows this better than most because he's been talking about it for years. I've been talking about it with him for years. This incessant need to translate what happened last week in the NFL to what's going to happen this week.
Definitely. Like,
the upsets in this league are crazy. You know, Xander pointed out a good thing. You know, Atlanta loses, what they lose, 30-0 to Carolina, and then they're beating Buffalo a couple weeks later, and they're playing, and now everybody's great. You can't translate. Look, it was a short week. There's no doubt about it. Some human nature plays into the way they played because they were probably like, well, the Giants are going to roll over. And the Giants didn't. They deserve credit for it. But to presume that's going to carry over to Minnesota, what Mike just said is 100% correct. If they're not on their P's and Q's against Brian Flores, they're going to look stupid. So guess what? They're going to be on their P's and Q's. They're going to be much more locked in. I guarantee it. Doesn't mean they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
But they're going to be much more locked in.
Well, the concerning thing when the Giant game, which you never can tell from week to week, is the Giants out-physicaled you on both lines. And that is not something that anybody had on the bingo card. Their offensive line stinks, and they took it to you. And they're, you know, you usually think your offensive line can win that battle. And we know the Eagles' offensive line is struggling, so they got whipped up front. So the physicality was the alarming thing, I thought, in the Giant game. The fact that the Giants just physically whipped you, that was the eye-opener. Now, does it carry over from week to week? Not necessarily. But the one thing that the Vikings, you know, their defense is going to throw confusing looks at you. They are going to certainly change things up. And the Eagles offense, which has been a struggle bus right now, this is certainly not the defense, if they come to play, that you want to get right against.
No doubt. Mike, how do you evaluate the quarterback conversation? Obviously, me and John were talking about it. There's a lot of conversation in that regard. Jalen is a specific type of player, which is okay. I mean, he's been very successful here in Philadelphia. But without that run game, Mike, they struggle. You know, how do you see it going from – or where do you see it going from here? And how do you evaluate the quarterback so far through the first 6 weeks?
Well, listen, in the summer when all the lists come out, I've never been the guy fighting for Jalen Hurts to be higher on any list. He doesn't belong higher on lists because he happens to win games. That doesn't mean his skill set is better than some of these other quarterbacks. These lists are all based on skill, arm strength, stats. You know, this guy's a 4,500-yard passer. Jalen's not that guy. So when times are tough, this is when he is open to criticism, and this is when people look at him and say, well, you know, you're supposed to be one of these top five guys. No, he's not supposed to be one of these top five guys. So those people that make the list, they're generally right. He's somewhere in the middle of the pack skill set-wise. The question is, you know, when times are tough, can you turn to him? You know, this has become the NFL. John and I kind of talked a little bit about this on Monday on my show. You have a quarterback that you want to be the franchise quarterback. So you see a glimmer And then you give him more and then more. And then he shows he can't do it. So then you have to reel him back in. And the Eagles have said, we're just not giving you more. We're just not going to do it. We're just going to make you be who you are, even though you have all these toys to play with. These other teams, they have Bo Nix, and then Nix looks good for 2 weeks, and then they give him a little bit more, and then he turns into Bo Nix. So the Eagles have been very cautious by not letting Jalen get more. Right now, though, the question is, do the Eagles need more from him? Because this run game is an absolute disaster. Because quite frankly, the offensive line's a mess. And I know that people are talking about Jort Landon Dickerson maybe staying out another week to get himself healthy after the bye. They need Landon Dickerson. Brett Toth cannot play left guard at this level. He just can't do it. He's getting whipped. He got whipped last week. Mailata had an awful game last week. And I think Mailata not having his partner next to him is now affecting him a little bit. So when you don't have those five guys, and they had all five last year, virtually the entire season, outside of Mailata missing about four games. And it shows you how important that position is in this league. We see it all the time. All these teams have good skill guys, don't have the guys up front doing their job, as we're seeing right now with the Eagles. It affects Saquon. It affects AJ. It affects Devontae. And it affects the quarterback. So this offensive line is the reason why all the play is struggling. Now, are there plays that Jalen can make? Absolutely. We see those plays. You're not going to hit on 100% of them, but if you're getting them, you've got to make sure you hit on at least one or two of them. You can't miss all of them. And he is not making that big play that he generally has made in the past.
Yeah, I feel so many people make football more complicated than it is. And I've been saying for probably 20 years, and because people that know the game better than me have told me, if you can't, how many times have you heard me say this, Mike? If you can't block people, you can't play offense in this league. If you look at,
we talk about a lot, John, you know, these great receivers who don't win anything. Well, because generally because their offensive lines get the quarterback killed, right? I mean, Joe Burrow's the one guy who took a team to a Super Bowl with an awful offensive line. That's how good Joe Burrow is, which is why I was joking on Monday when Brian Callahan got fired. It was, hey, maybe you should just bring him in here and see if he has a couple pass plays that he can add to this offense just to add a little bit, because you know, I know he wasn't the play caller in Cincinnati, but I'm sure he has a couple pass plays that maybe worked for Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd when he was there, you know, just to add something to their route trees, which are so elementary that it's, you know, I'm sure everybody out there.
Those elementary route trees, though, Mike, they're so consistent. The only logical conclusion is that that's where the quarterback likes to throw the ball. I mean, I have one dude sending me these route trees from George Pickens versus Devontae Smith. All of Devontae's are outside the numbers, right to the sideline, and George Pickens's are all over the field. Devontae's are that every week. Do we really think that Kevin Petullo, who's been a pass game coordinator in the NFL for how long, and Nick Sirianni, who managed the Phillip Rivers offense in Indianapolis, they can't give him any routes over the middle? The only logical conclusion there is this is what the offense thrives on, or what they want.
I'm beaming with pride with Xander. I'm to see it click. I mean, what you said, he's been doing this for a long freaking time. Do people really think the issue is the coaches? Look at Kellen Moore's offense pre-Philadelphia, even the first 4 weeks in Philadelphia when they were trying to change things to what it became. Do people really think it's the offensive coaches? It is mind-boggling to me. You've had four different guys. It all ends in the same place.
Yeah, even with the, you know, everybody I'm sure saw the Baldinger Baldy breakdown of them running the same play on three straight third downs. I said, that's great to say they're running the same play. And all three of them third downs, guys were wide open.
Yeah, there was a guy open. And the ball's not coming out. That's what I said.
Every single one of them, they could run the same play. And they're open every time there was a guy wide open. Where I'm not looking at the fact that they're running the same exact play. I'm looking at he missed a guy on all three of them. That's the more alarming thing to me. Yeah. Run the same play. You know, we talk about all the time.
If you have a play that works,
run it again.
15 times, man.
And I'm sure the offensive play caller saying, I'm calling this play on third down. It's working. You are not getting the ball to the guy on time. Because what I'm seeing is there's a guy wide open. And all three of those Baldy plays, the guy's wide open. I don't know if you can bring that up on the screen. But, I mean, you look at that play. All three of those plays, they're the exact three plays. Now, guys are in different spots. It's not the same exact play. It's the same routes, just different guys running them. But all three of the plays, there's guys wide open, wide open.
Ball's not coming out, man.
Ball's not coming out. And, you know, last year after the Carolina game, this was the conversation. And you know, you go down like, hey, if you put any other quarterback in this same exact offense with these weapons, what's the result? And then it goes back to, well, you know, this isn't what they want to be. They want to run the ball. Well, they can't run the ball right now. So now you got a real conundrum. You can't run the ball, and you have a problem delivering the football on time to the guys who are open.
So is the only way for this offense to be successful then if you have the best offensive line in football? I mean, they're not – the offensive line hasn't been what we're used to, but as John has pointed out extensively on the show, they're not – look around the league, man. I mean, the offensive lines around the league are awful.
Awful. And I have said this team became the team that we know when they realized who the true star of this team was. The offensive line. The offensive line is what has been the biggest star of this team. And when they realized that, that's when this team has gone on this unbelievable run. And now that the biggest star they have is turning into a team that's breaking down a little bit. Everybody gets older. Everybody gets beaten up. Things happen. Becton's gone. Obviously, Juergens is beat up. Dickerson's beat up. So your biggest star is now hurt, and it's crumbling a little bit. You know, A.J. Brown is awesome. But what is Nick Sirianni's famous quote? You can't be great without the greatness of others. Guess what? Yeah. Without the greatness of that offensive line, you can't be as great as you. You know, the highest level of your greatness relies on that offensive line. It all comes back to that line being busted. But when this team finally realized in 2021 that the biggest star we have is that offensive line, it turned into the Eagles that we now know over this run. A Super Bowl appearance, a 10-1 start, a Super Bowl championship. And now here we are where that line can't hold up their end of the bargain.
I mean, and even when you go to the top of the food chain, and I constantly point out, Tom Brady lost three Super Bowls, but he lost except the one against the Eagles, which was a shootout. The New York Giants beat him twice. How? Destroyed.
They beat him up front
on the pass rush. Yep. Patrick Mahomes, two of his worst games, three of, you know, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, they could not block the front either. Either game, Kansas City could not block the front. You're talking at the highest level of Hall of Famer, not only Hall of Famers, the highest level of Hall of Famers at the position. Even they can't perform to the point of if you can't block people, you can't play offense, even with the top of the food chain at quarterback. And nobody realizes it. Well, far too people realize it.
I feel like the pass blocking of the offensive line has been fine. It's more the run blocking, I think, where they're struggling right now. And it doesn't look like they're getting any push off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I was just using an extreme example.
Because they look like they're holding up in the pass game. I mean, Jalen did have four or five seconds to throw in a lot of those plays.
Well, Jordan and Lane are playing to their standard for the most part. You know, it doesn't look quite as good when Brett Toth is in there because you had some stunt problems, some game problems with, you know, you don't have that continuity. Cam is dealing with the injury. And Tyler Steen, by the way, I think has been above average. The crazy part is I still think the Eagles offensive line is top 10 in the league because there's so many bad offensive lines. But compared to what it was last year, when it was literally one of the best offensive lines ever. So that same thing when I'm talking about the quarterbacks, that was top of the food chain ever. Now you're just normal good. And you see all the struggles it creates. But there's a whole conflation of things. as Kevin will talk about, as Nick will talk about. But to me, if they don't get this running game going, it's going to be a problem, because then you got to throw it more, and the more this team throws it, the uglier it's going to get. Especially if you're in obvious passing situation.
That's just a crazy thing to try to think about when you have the weapons that you have and what you have invested in then, and that you're saying, like, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. The fact that you're saying if you have to throw the ball, you're in trouble with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and Jahan Dotson, another guy who was a first round pick, who I know he hasn't been what you would hope. Like, when you draft a guy in the first round, you're hoping he's a number one wide receiver. But if he's your third guy, that's not the worst situation to be in. This is what you're talking about, is that if you have to throw the ball to those guys, is that more quarterback related or because the offensive line isn't holding up their end of the bargain?
It's Mike. It's ridiculous. They let everybody walk. They took Vic Fangio's number one defense and blew it to smithereens because they're paying the offense. And if the offense has one offensive lineman, or the offensive line isn't number one overall in football, or they can't run to the tune of 2,000 yards, we can't move the ball. We're the 30th ranked offense in pro football, and they're the highest paid offense in pro football. That's one of the worst ROIs you could calculate. Number one paid, 30th ranked. Come on, man. That's got to get better. I don't get how people don't see that that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope people would see it's a problem. And if you don't see it's a problem, obviously you're just carrying water for your favorite team. But my only point, pretty consistently, it was the same last year. Nobody recognized it because of the running game.
Right.
The passing game I'm talking about. You know, it's the same thing last year. And everybody was upset when we talked about it. The Carolina game, the Baltimore game. You know, people forget Green Bay. They threw for 130 yards in the playoffs against Green Bay.
Realistically, it's been the same thing the entire Hurts era. I mean, their offense is just average. I mean, they have explosive games, but not consistently. And no one's consistent. But I said, you know, what number I threw out a couple of weeks ago, 35 points a game. Okay, you're not scoring 35 points a game, but this offense should consistently be able to score 28 with what they have. And this offense has been consistently just an average offense. Like, yes, they have explosive games that change the dynamics of all their things. But ultimately, you don't watch this team. I have this debate with my buddy all the time. He texts me about how boring the Eagles are to watch. Just think about that. You got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, the best offensive line in football, a really good tight end. And you're talking about a team that's boring to watch. And they are some – their offense is a grind to watch sometimes. Their best play is the tush push, basically is the only play that they consistently can run effectively. But it's been like this really since 2021. They've been a boring offense with explosive big plays every now and then. Last year, the explosive big plays were from Saquon Barkley. In years past, the explosive big plays, let's be honest, Miles Sanders had a lot of big runs here. You talked about it, John, on my show. How many yards per carry Miles Sanders got you? It wasn't like you were struggling to run the ball. You just last year had a toy that you felt like playing with more than you have in the past. If you play with Miles Sanders as much as you did Saquon Barkley, he might have had 1,800 yards in this offense. You just decided to make Saquon a bigger figure in this offense. But it really could have been Miles Sanders running for – I don't want to say 2,000 yards. I'll give Saquon some benefit that he could add a couple hundred yards just because he's great. But it wasn't like they were struggling in that department. They've never struggled to run the ball, which is why when they signed Saquon Barkley, is he better get like 1,800 total yards. Now he surpassed my number. But I said, to pay him what you paid him for what you were getting, and now you're paying this guy, he better smash those guys. And he did. So kudos to him. I also questioned giving him the extension. I thought that was a bad decision. Other than doing it in a sign of good faith of, hey, you had a great year, so we're going to pay you for that year. But they had no reason to extend him, because now you're seeing the problem is now he's not the weapon that you thought he was. not because he stinks, is because teams are now saying, you're not going to use that weapon that you just paid some more money. We're not going to let you.
All right, I'm going to bring something up, and people are not going to like it. But, Mike, you brought up Jahan Dotson, and I'm not calling for this. I'm simply looking at the difference in skill sets and why the receivers are so damn frustrated. Everybody loves getting mad at A.J. Brown. You brought up Jahan Dotson as a wide receiver three. There was one game last year where you had a different style of quarterback in for Jahan Dotson. It was week 18. It was a meaningless game. I get it. You're playing the shitty New York Giants. You can't take too much of it. Jahan Dotson had 7 receptions for 94 yards. Dallas Goedert played the first quarter. He had 4 catches for 55 yards. Anaya Smith had
Goddard.
Ronnie Wilson, 3 catches. Calcaterra, 2 catches. Kenny Gainwell, 2 catches. All these guys got 4-plus targets.
On the Goddard thing, for the people who complain, they run the same play every time. That Goddard game in against the Giants, they ran the same tight end cross.
Yep.
The entire half, they ran the same play for Tanner McKee the entire first half of that Giants.
That was the most simplified offense that game.
Yes.
I'm just pointing out, Eagles. Like, this is why, though, people say this. I don't think it's because of Tanner McKee. It's if this quarterback, when our offensive line isn't perfect or we can't run the ball to the level we have, if you can't get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith involved, what are we doing? See, I mean, you're telling me, is someone going to honestly tell me, play in and play out, that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are not getting open? Seriously? Sorry, I'm not buying that. There's no way I am buying that. And if you don't have a perfect O-line and a perfect run game, you can't move the football? I mean, that just seems insane to me. But I get it. The conversation's a tough one, and people don't want to hear all that. But I don't know. 27 to 41, McKee was that game. They threw 41 passes.
I mean, yeah, that was really, if you watch that game, if you watch the guy, they were very, and in fact, he was very hot early. And then as they figured out, hey, they're going to run the same plays all game, then right. It got worse as it progressed. And you know, they didn't want to show anything. It was a meaningless game. So that was more of like a preseason environment, which is why people are hyped up to begin with Tanner McKee. If he's forced to play, the offense is going to look a lot different. And there's a lot of things people are going to like. And I think it would rejuvenate the coaching staff, to be honest, because they'd like to play more 11 personnel and drop back and do some different things. And it would rejuvenate a lot of people. But there also be a lot more mistakes. A lot more issues.
That's the thing. A lot of teams around the league are running the offense that they want to run. They don't have the quarterback to do it. And that's why they're stuck in the middle, is because the quarterback play is so inconsistent. The offensive line play is so bad. So your offense might be more creative, but you can't run it to the level you want to because the quarterbacks are inconsistent. The offensive line stink. So your offense is more creative than the Eagles. The Eagles are saying, we have more creativity in us. We just don't want to use it because we don't think we don't want to make mistakes. You can have your offense that looks good one week, then the next week it doesn't, then the next week it doesn't, then the next week it does. That the Eagles are saying, we're not making mistakes. We're fine in this lane right here. And
that's exactly, to Mike's point, that's exactly what you would have. You might have a 300 passing week and 4 touchdowns, and everybody's going to lose their mind with Tanner McKee. And then the next week, it might be 4 interceptions. Right. You know, that's the way of sort of what you see around the NFL.
How many games this year? Now, the flip side would be that maybe McKee got the ball out faster and they made a play. But how many games this year did the Eagles need Hurts to run for a first down to keep a drive going?
How many of them were because he missed the guy, though? Or he didn't get the ball out on time.
That's the flip side of it. The flip side is maybe he had to do that because he missed a guy. It is chicken or the egg in this situation.
Well, you know, Mike, let me ask you a question. And, John, you give me this a lot. And I don't know if it's more because of the quarterback or what you believe about the overall offense. Are the Philadelphia Eagles built to be able to pass the football? Leave Jalen aside for a second. because I don't know if there's a team in football that's built to pass the ball better than the Eagles. I legitimately believe that.
Well, I can't. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you can leave Jalen Hurts aside. I mean,
I'm just saying. We say we're not built.
Well, if you put this offense in any other town other than Philadelphia with whoever's playing quarterback, that team is now leaning towards throwing the football a majority of the time. That's the game today, and they have the talent to do it. If you put this team in Cincinnati and take Jamar Chase and T. Higgins out, they're going to run the same offense. If you put this team in Miami with Tua, who's not great, but they're still going to say, Tua, you now have these two guys. We're going to lean on those two guys. If you put this offense,
if you put Tanner McKee in this offense, yeah, it changes. I've already said that. It changes overnight.
So if the better margin to win, though, in the NFL is passing the football, as Jeffrey Lurie has wanted.
The Eagles would say, wait a second. We won the Super Bowl. You want us to act like everybody else?
Well, now the offensive line doesn't look good in the ranked 30th overall.
That is true. But it's funny. We want to try to compare the Eagles to everybody else, and everybody else is trying to be the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl. Now,
that I disagree with. Because one of the things is...
Well, no. They're not trying to be the Eagles in terms of what they do. They're trying to be the best team in the league. The problem is the Eagles did it in a way that nobody else can duplicate because nobody else has the discipline to focus on running the ball and not making mistakes. They're trying to be explosive. And everything's about explosive, X plays, big plays. And the Eagles are saying, we can get them by here... And our big plays are going to be a 70-yard run, a 50-yard run. Like, that's the way that other teams can't get in the mindset of being disciplined is a hard thing to do. And the Eagles being disciplined is what won them the Super Bowl.
That's true. A small margin of error.
This is what I don't understand, then. If this is what they want to do, and this is, Mike, as you point out, they did win a Super Bowl. Why do we spend 32 on Devontae or AJ, 25 on Devontae, that's 57, 10 on Dallas Goedert, 67. I mean, you got $67 million in pass catchers. Give me an I formation with a fullback and a blocking tight end if all you want to do is run the fucking football.
Well,
I don't understand.
I would say, like, in the past, some of the reasons why you're able to run the ball well is because you can't, you know, some of these guys have to account for A.J. Brown. So that takes a safety and kind of slides it in his direction. Or Devon, like, I can't just leave these guys on one-on-ones because they're going to roast me. So, you know, this goes back to, like, A.J. and the whole thing of, like, I didn't feel like I contributed. Well, you contributed by basically standing there. It's like Ohtani keeps getting walked, even though he hasn't done a damn thing. It's the possibility that Ohtani could hit one out at any moment in time. I have to account for that. A.J. Brown's on the field. I have to account for him. So I have to now put more attention or eyes or something has to be looking in his direction.
Well, he's a $32 million decoy. That's what I mean.
Hey, sometimes you have the luxury. You know, the Dodgers have $35 million invested into bullpen pieces who never pitch, right?
Well, I got a pushback, though, because I agree with you. Sometimes you have the luxury, but we didn't. We let the number one defense in football walk this offseason because we couldn't pay him. Why can't we pay him? Because we're paying all this money on offense. So now if you're built to only run the ball and the defense is going to lead you to Super Bowls, why are we letting the defense walk out the door? Vic Fangio shows up, Mike, what year one, and gives us the greatest defense we maybe have ever seen. And then they take a blowtorch to it, and now he's left to pick up the pieces.
Hey, listen, well, a lot of that is they trust their drafting, right, which is what you should do. They invested in the offense and said, we're going to draft on defense to allow these guys to walk because we trust that the next guy is going to come in, and it hasn't worked so far. You had Josh Sweat, who's having a good year in Arizona, by the way, and you drafted Jalix Hunt. Now, I don't know that they thought Jalix Hunt was going to be ready to be the guy right now, but he was the guy that was drafted in the third round. Josh Sweat was a fourth-round pick. So you're supplanting him with a guy that you maybe – valued more when you drafted him. You drafted Milton Williams in the third. You've now got Morrow taking that spot. So they did invest in their offense because they decided to invest in the draft on the defense to replace those guys. And you have to trust that you're going to hit on these guys in the draft. You don't go into it by saying, man, I really suck at this. So you have to hope that you done your homework and that those guys can do
I mean,
the job.
I talk about that a lot. That circumstance, paying guys, you know, they're the offensive guys are the entrenched guys on their second and third contract. Like, I think a lot of fans don't. They can't pay Jalen Carter yet. They can't pay Quinyon Mitchell yet. They can't pay Cooper DeJean yet. They have to wait till after their third season. Yeah. They will get paid.
But we did.
They will get paid. So again, Howie's job is about more than this immediate moment. He's got to think about years to come and all that kind of stuff. And if you pay Milton Williams what Milton Williams got on the open market, well, how do you pay Jalen Carter? How do you pay Josh Sweat? How do you pay, if these guys develop, Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt, which jury is out on both because of injuries with Nolan, because of playing. Certainly Jalix Hunt doesn't look like a no doubt about it guy, foundational guy, although he's still got an upside. But you got to make those difficult decisions, and sometimes you get those evaluations wrong. I just talked about it with J.J. McCarthy at a bigger high-profile position. Sometimes you just flat out get them wrong. But by the time you're in theory going to be playing, paying Nolan Smith and maybe even Jalix Hunt, you know, Josh is going to be 2-3 years older. So you got to make these difficult decisions, and I always talk about that demarcation line. Some guys are above it, some guys are below it. They might get that wrong, but you can't pay them all. That's the
You definitely can't pay them all, which is why I said though they didn't pay them, because they're paying the offense, and it's 30th overall is not cutting it. You know, if this team's going to win with the way they're set up this year, the only way to do it is to get the most out of that offense.
If 10 weeks from now you're talking about an offense that just can't get out of its own way, I think you can certainly say 6 weeks, you would say, well, that's a good enough sample size. They are 4-2. I know the last 2 weeks have been pretty dreadful, and I'm not sitting here saying, they're going to snap out of this. It doesn't appear that that's the case. However, I do think they should get some benefit of the doubt that they had a mini bye. They have another bye coming up. Let's see what this team looks like coming out of the bye.
You know what? This shapes up to me as a week where Jalen hears some of this noise and he has one of his big games. And everybody's like, see, I told you. And then they're going to conflate it should happen the week after.
It almost feels that they have so much faith and confidence that they have the games in their back pocket that they can pull them out whenever they want. And it's like the fans yearn for it every week to see this explosive offense. And they're only like, we know we can do it when we have. It's almost like a team that flips a switch in the playoffs. Like, we kind of slept walk through the regular season, but once we get to the playoffs, you're going to see the real team. And it's like the Eagles are just like, we're going to hold it. Nick Sirianni is the ultimate, like, I'm not giving the other team anything. And it's almost like they're holding their cards so close to their vest to get through the regular season, or that 1 week where they're like, well, we might sprinkle in a game where we can delight you for 1 week. Here you go. Because they trust that they have the personnel that can do it whenever they need it.
Well, there's definitely a lot of hubris with this team. I talk about it all the time. They are very of the belief that they're just going to out-talent people, that the roster is too big to bail, to use a financial comparison, too talented to fail in this instance, but they're not as talented as they were last year. And I think you're right in the regular season, Mike, because I think you're going to have these games, and it might even start this week where Jalen will go up to the podium post game. Is that what you wanted to see? One of those backhanded things. And then people are going to say, hey, we expect that moving forward. And it's not going to be. They're not going to be. I say this all the time, Mike. They are not going to be a high volume passing offense, period.
Yeah. And as time goes on, you know, you wonder how much that just keeps wearing on your AJs, your Devontaes, and everybody. Like, you know, all things in sports used to be, you know, I'm watching a video this morning that popped up on my feed of Chris Chambliss hitting the home run in the 76 World Series.
Great
to walk it off. And the fans are on the field. He can't even circle the bases. You know, like moments like that. I'm like, can you imagine if that actually happened today? The guy couldn't get around the bases. But we talk about that is that those teams stayed together for decades, right? That level of that team would stay together for a decade trying to win games. Now, after like 3 years, these guys are like, I want to go to the next challenge. I want to go someplace else. All the fans are like, I want to see a new team. I'm done with this team. You know, the Phillies could easily run it back, but everyone's like, I'm tired of this team. Well, 30 years ago, you would say, I want to see this team go on a 10-year run and see what they can do. Now, after if you don't get it done in two seasons, you're out. We're giving this team 6 weeks, and we're like, we're done. We're out of this thing.
Well, it's, but, well, it's because it looks like there's cracks in the foundation. If the foundation of the team, you know, is
right,
run the ball, offensive line. Real quick, though, Mike, do you think this offensive line is getting healthier? I mean, we've had 4 years of playing this way. Landon Dickerson's been – he's now been multiple surgeries. He's injured. Cam Jurgens coming off a back surgery. You know, Lane Johnson isn't getting any younger. He might be closer to retirement than we ever thought he would be at this point. You know, are we expecting the offensive line to return to what they were in 2020?
Well, I think that's a fair question. Pointed out,
a GM told him, this might be one of the greatest offensive lines I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair question of, as I said before, when the Eagles realized the star of this team was the offensive line, that's when they flourished. How many more great years does that star have left in them? The problem with the offensive line being the star is you need five guys to make them the star, not one, all five. And that is a fair assessment is, can they rely on this offensive line to be the star of the team anymore? And if they can't, what is the result of this offense? You're seeing it right now. So yes, your question of how can they get healthier? Landon Dickerson's beat up. He was drafted beat up. Now, he gave you really good years. I don't want to say the guy's going to be Ron Salt all of a sudden, but I would imagine that he's not going to be 100% at any point this year.
By the way, Jurgens, he's already been worth it, even if he doesn't.
Agreed, John.
Yeah.
He's already been worth it.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. They took a chance on him because of his – the guy would have been a first-round pick easily. And he fell to the second round.
So their offensive line is definitely a question of whether or not they can be a five-man working tandem. You do have a bye week coming up still, and that would be the big thing. I think after the bye week to see if they're still very clunky and if this offensive line is still a problem. If that's the case, I would imagine the back end of this schedule is going to be very difficult to navigate.
At Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on the X platform. Subscribe to his YouTube channel as well at Mike Gill Show. Listen to him 97.3, the Sports Bash, every day 2 to 6 down the shore. You guys got whacked down the shore with this nor'easter. I hope everybody's okay down there.
The beaches are beat up. Don't come down.
Don't come down. Don't come down. Well, it's getting cooler, so you're going to have a break.
No, they're not going to have them fixed by next summer, so it's not even worth coming down.
Stop vacationing here. It's classic. Yeah. All right, Mike. Good stuff. Good conversation. I don't know, man. I don't want to.
Here's where it's going. They're going to make the playoffs because they are too talented to bail, so to speak. They're going
to lose to the Giants. John, I'll tell you, in 2023, there was a lot of games on that schedule, even when they were playing like crap. They got the Cardinals. And they lost those games. That Giants team, they got a little life, little energy with the quarterback and Scatapoo. But that team.
That's a bad team.
Stinks. Yeah. They stink. And
I started the show. That is a bad loss. I am not sugarcoating that at all. But they are going to rebound. They're going to make the playoffs. Then they're going to lose. I don't know if they're going to lose in the wild card weekend, divisional round. They're going to lose. And when they do, there's going to be some real conversations that need to be had in the offseason.
Yeah. And by the way, now we're relying on a trade to fix the edge. And I'm a Howie Roseman guy too, believe me. But his trade record since the Super Bowl is not good. Okay, he traded 2 picks for Tank Bigsby.
What about Tank? I mean, Tank Bigsby.
Outside of the Fred Johnson trade, I don't think he made a single good trade. And now we're looking at him to repair the edge because they let everybody walk again because they're paying all the offense. And here we are, back shopping on the market in week 6, Mike. Let's hope
Howie and Fred help you win a game this year, right?
I think Fred was a good trade.
Yeah,
he traded for Fred Johnson and helped Fred helped kind of secure a win this
year. I'm going with the Fred trade, but can you find any others?
No, listen, it's hard to make trades.
John Betsy.
It's hard to make trades.
How about Thomas Tucker for Ja'Cory and Bennett?
Yeah, it's hard to make trades in the NFL.
Great, man.
It's hard to make trades in the NFL of any substance. They're going to help you in the moment.
No, it's not.
What trade has ever happened in the middle of an NFL season that impacted the playoffs or anything? I mean, I know trades were not as glamorous in the NFL. They're starting to become a little bit more. But if you're looking to make a trade, like outside of getting like Trey Hendrickson, who, by the way, has back problems now, all these guys who held out, McLaurin, his quad problem, he hasn't been on the field. Hendrickson, he's got back problems. He can't get on the field. Those guys scare me. The Hendrickson thing's interesting because he has a one-year deal. Do you want to just say, hey, I'll pay you the rest of the year? What's that?
Yeah, you could just move on. But
exactly. You bring him in for half the year. He's getting paid $29 million this year. So whatever that prorate it would be, you could do that and then let him walk. It's just what would you have to give up to get, you know, to do that? So he would be, I guess, intrigued. But the fact that he got this back problem, he can't get through these games, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I will say, they told us they had an edge problem by bringing Za'Darius in, and now that Za'Darius is out, they better fix that problem yet again.
It's even worse, remember, because no one's heard too. Oh, gosh. Mike, good conversation, my friend. It always is every single Wednesday. We appreciate you joining in. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, brother.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.